Hi, friends. The podcast is doing great, and we've heard from many of you that you enjoy listening while refinishing, driving, and exercising. We want to continue to build this incredible podcast platform to recognize your achievements, educate and encourage one another, and of course, bring awareness to this industry. One of the most effective ways to keep the podcast high on the charts is by rating and reviewing us on the directory you listen to. So would you take a few minutes out of your busy schedule this week to do just that? We would really appreciate it. Instagram, check. Facebook, check. Pinterest, check. YouTube, oh wait. Yeah, I know about YouTube and I have thought about YouTube, but I just haven't taken the time to see if it's something I should be doing in my refinishing business. Have we just tapped into your thoughts? Well, today's show is just for you. Actually, it's for anyone in business because we have Christina with Pretty Distressed and Katja with Katja Furniture here to tell us why we should consider the YouTube opportunity. Last week, we heard from Cindy with Reinvented Delaware share three of her six tips on the process of keeping parts and pieces from projects that can actually be used to create new value-laden gems. Today, we hear her final three tips in this two-part series. I'm your host, Lane Ball. Welcome to Zebras Before and After. How big is YouTube? After doing a little research online, I found a New York Times article that shed some light. And by the way, this was from July 2019. It is believed that YouTube generates $16 billion to $25 billion in annual revenue. We all know about YouTube, whether for entertainment or how-tos. The point is that it's a venture worth considering from a business perspective. We have two special guests today that are not only well-known furniture refinishers, but they also have their own very successful YouTube channels, Christina Mascari with Pretty Distressed and Katarina Hernandez with Katja Furniture. Welcome to Zebras Before and After, Christina and Katja.
Hi, Lane. Thanks for having us today.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, it's really nice to have you both on. You know, one of the advantages of being a host, as you guys know, is you learn so much in the process of preparing for an interview. And then, of course, the interview itself. And I must confess, I have always thought YouTube provides an incredible opportunity for individuals and businesses, but I don't know as much as I would like to know. So I'm excited to garner new information today. Before we dive into our discussion on YouTube, I want to get a little background information from each of you. Tell us a little about yourself and where you live. And let's start with you, Christina.
Okay, great. Well, I am currently in Nashville, Tennessee. I was actually I was raised here in Tennessee, lived here for a long time, but I got married to a Midwesterner and he moved me from, Indiana. We were in Minnesota for about 5 years and we were in Illinois. And about 2 years ago, we moved down to Tennessee, and that's where we have our home right now. I have three children that keep me very busy, especially right now, being home with them, schooling and painting and YouTubing and all of that. And I started painting in 2013. So I feel like I am a dinosaur in this industry. I took some time off to raise my kids, but it's always been a passion of mine. And I'm also an accidental YouTuber. I just started off painting things in my home and then started painting for clients and doing all the things a lot of the guests that you have on here do. And then randomly put up a YouTube video one day and now I'm a YouTuber. So it's kind of a crazy story. I'm not really sure how it happened, but I feel very blessed to be part of this community.
Now, you said you were raised primarily in Tennessee and then you went off to some other states. Now, is your extended family still in Tennessee?
My parents and my sister are. So the rest of my family is in Ohio. So we're kind of spread out. But I am very lucky to live right down the street from my mom and dad, which has been really fun for my kids and for me.
How nice. That is so nice. Now, is everybody doing well? I know with the pandemic, is everybody in your family staying healthy?
Yeah, everybody's staying healthy and staying safe and, you know, doing a lot of FaceTime calls and doing a lot of social distancing around our fire pit in our backyard sometimes. So, but yeah, everyone's healthy. So thank you for asking.
Very good to hear. Well, what about you, Katja?
I was born in Serbia. As you can notice, I have a very heavy accent, right? It's because I was born and I grew up in Serbia, actually. And I came to the United States 8 years ago. And then in 2016, I do terrible depression I was, I started painting. I started painting one table, and that turned into a career for me. I found a new love, new passion, a new therapy. And 2 years after that, I decided I wanted to film everything I'm doing and put out there on YouTube so people can learn maybe some tricks and techniques. And here we are now, like, growing more than ever. Like, actually, my husband jumped on the train, and we are doing this as a full-time, like, small business. And that's pretty much it, like, in short.
Well, so you and your husband are doing this together. That is excellent.
Yes, we're both, we're like, we live off this. This is our source of income. And he jumped on the train last year when he said that I'm really serious about it. And when he saw how much passion I have for it. And so he jumped on it, and he helps me a lot. A lot of people don't know that, but he is a big part of Kacha. You know, he's 50% of it behind camera that nobody sees, everything. But yeah, that's, and I feel like soon, like in the future, in, you know, I feel like we're going to have to get to hire another person for editing or something, you know. So it's like, it's amazing, you know. It's all came out from me wanting to paint one little table for my guest room, and my life turned around.
You know, it's so much fun to hear these stories from both of you. And I bet it's just so exciting for both of you and your own perspectives to be able to stop and look back to where you came from when you started, and then to see the success taking place today. And that's so motivating, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So you guys are doing well. Now, Kacha, you're up in what state?
I'm in Maine, all the way up. I'm in Maine, Waterville. It's a very small town, and we moved here 2 years ago. Before that, I lived in Colorado ever since I came to the United States, and that's where we met, and that's where we got married. We moved here, and actually, I'm loving it. Like, I love this. Like, people don't know this is our little secret in Maine. Like, we're it's really nice here. You know, the winter is brutal and tough, and yeah. But this winter was not even that bad. So, but the summer comes, and then it's like so pretty here. So I'm happy. We're really happy here.
And you guys are doing well during this pandemic, with your health.
Yes. We're doing, I mean, we're self-isolating, and it's a little tougher now during pandemic to get the furniture. Definitely that's been a challenge. I bought so many pieces before all this started. So we're still doing okay. Hopefully soon I'm going to be able to find more inventory.
Boy, it pays, doesn't it, to stockpile sometimes. I mean, sometimes you feel like you're hoarding these furniture pieces, but we've spoken to some other furniture finishers, and they responded the same way when I've asked, like, how are you doing with, you know, getting in new pieces of furniture to refinish. And some of them said, you know what, those stockpiles are paying off now. So that's really good. Well, I have to ask you guys this, because you guys are good friends. And so I want to find out, how did you guys connect?
Oh, this is a fun story. So, and it's totally random. I think we had noticed each other a long time on YouTube, because the way the algorithm works, Kacha's videos would play after mine, or they would show up in my feed because it's a similar topic. And her style of video has changed over the past year, and she has just grown so much. And all her videos used to just be music and title pages. She wouldn't speak in her videos. And she made a video a while back at the end of last year where she talked about just perfection and the goal of it and what it means and how it can cripple you, and just kind of put this beautiful video out all about why she does what she does. And she talked for the first time, and I heard her voice, and I was like, this is just so beautiful and amazing. I have to comment on this. And I just shared a little comment saying, oh my gosh, I absolutely love this. I'm so happy to hear your voice. I hope we're going to hear more from you in the future. And I think I was doing a premiere of one of my videos the next week, and she hopped on there, and I was like, oh my gosh, Kacha is on here, and she's commenting on my video. Like, I'm so excited you're here. And like from that day on, we just started, you know, messaging each other on Instagram. And then I was like, I would just love to talk to you on FaceTime because I have felt like an island for so long on YouTube and felt like I really didn't fit in the Instagram world. And to be able to sit down and have a friend, not only in my industry, but who's doing kind of the same thing that I do, struggling with the same things, growing in the same things. I mean, we just talked, I think for like maybe 2 hours the first time we talked, and we were just like instant friends, which was also awesome because our styles are so different. She's very artistic and just does just beautiful pieces of art. And I am more muted and conservative, and it, you would think that it wouldn't work. And you would think that we would be like competitors and not want to share secrets and not encourage each other. But it's been like one of the best things, I think, for both of our brands and businesses to kind of have this friendship. It's been really special.
Yeah. And I have to add to this that I watched Christina when in 2016, she already had videos out. I watched her. So I knew for Christina Moscari for a long time. And when I saw the comments she left, I was on top of the moon, you know? It's like I'm like, oh my God, Christina left a comment. She watches my videos. So that was like, that was amazing. And then also we are like, we premiere our videos on Friday. And then we do live chats when we premiere them. Christina always comes to mine. And then I go to her, and then you know, we're like always there. She didn't tell me she was going live this Saturday, so I missed her live. But
I was sneaky. I didn't want people to know.
She did not tell me. She didn't tell me. On top of that, she went at night, like when I'm already in bed. And but we're always like there, you know, and I feel like we're sending a good message to the communities that like you can do the same thing and you can support each other. And, you know, I think we're doing the right thing and doing the good thing for the for other people, you know, like, hey, you know, you can support each other. You can help each other. You're just going to be stronger. You know, you're not going to hurt each other. And I think that our, you know, our communities love that. They tell me it all the time.
Yeah. Well, it's a message of humility as well, to be open and transparent. And then to also say, hey, here, I'm available to help you out. And to encourage others on, and that's what people like to see, and that that's excellent. I'm curious because you both obviously mentioned you started, you know, in furniture refinishing. You didn't start out, I want to do YouTube. Here's an opportunity to do furniture refinishing with YouTube. I mean, you really started out with furniture refinishing, and then you jumped into YouTube. Maybe the amount of time before you did furniture refinishing and YouTube was different for each other. But I'm curious as to what made you like stop and think about YouTube. Like, what drew you into YouTube?
Go ahead,
go first, Katya. Okay, I'll go first, and I'll try to keep it brief. So I also have a background in marketing and public relations. I was media trained and used to do all like events and production of, you know, just all sorts of things. So I've always had that kind of in my blood. And when I started painting, it was honestly just a hobby. I wanted beautiful things in my home, but I wanted to do it in an affordable way. I wanted stuff that looked like Restoration Hardware or Pottery Barn, but I couldn't afford that. So I tried to recreate that as much as I could and fell in love with furniture painting. But I also had this itch to like take it further. So almost immediately when I started painting, I started blogging because I had a communications background. Mm-hmm. I loved before and after. So that was my favorite part of the project, is showing that before and after, like all the Fixer Upper fans out there. So I had been doing that from the very beginning. And I had my blog on Blogger, which is all, you know, Google and integrated with YouTube. And I had learned from people on videos how to paint. There were two gals back then that are now defunct. One was Blue Egg Brown Nest, Kristen Benston, and another one was Simply Reinvented. And I remember her name is Cindy. I mean, I still remember these people like they're my best friends, because they were the kind of only videos on YouTube showing you how to do paint. There were a lot of blog posts, but not videos. And I just learned better from videos. And so after I'd been painting for a while and blogging for a while, I was like, hey, why don't I try to do one of these? Because it helped me a lot. And I did like a 5 series. I called it a vlog, but it wasn't even a vlog because I didn't even know what vlogs were back then, and just threw it up on my blog and then didn't make a video probably for another year. And then didn't make another video for another year after that. And then decided, oh, I'm going to make some more videos. Made some videos again off of a popular piece that I had done. And then it was really crazy. I started getting into watching makeup videos on YouTube. And I don't even put makeup on. I put makeup on once a week. And I was finding myself constantly watching these videos. And then I was thinking of furniture painting. I'm like, this translates. Like, they're, you know, I can translate this into my videos. And that's when I kind of started making more content. And I think at that point, Katja was probably making a video a week. But that's when I really started focusing on YouTube. And that's where I started seeing the growth. And I was able to slow down painting and not have to take on so many projects and take time with them, and just got a lot more life out of YouTube. So that's my crazy YouTube story.
Hey, I'm not surprised that you have a media and PR background. That didn't surprise me because
you...
Yeah. Well, I mean, it really does.
My education, thanks to you, so do my parents.
Exactly. What about you, Katja?
I wanted just to add for Christina that she is, in my opinion, she's like, from all furniture painters out there, she knows the best how to, like, she knows the best what audience want, how to do a thumbnail, how to word it. Like, she just, like, you know, she's just so good at that. And that's not easy,
so
believe
sweet.
Me.
Thank you, friend.
That is really, really hard to do. As a YouTuber, I can tell you that is the hardest part to do. And she is really good at that. And that, like, you know, that is like, I ask her on my podcast, like, how do you do that? And she's like, well, I watch this YouTube channel and this YouTube channel. And but she's, you know, she's like, I can see that what she's saying, that watching makeup tutorials and makeup YouTubers helped her. Like, I can see that. Like, she knows, like, really to do her job. So I had to add that. I started YouTube because I used to have, for the first 2 years, I was painting and I was like doing 3 to 5 pieces a week. It was like, and I had a booth. I was renting a booth and I will take everything there. Mm-hmm. And so I had to fill up that space and I loved doing it. It was like giving me, I loved hassling and getting pieces and painting. And I was just working like crazy. And all of a sudden they told us the store will just shut down. They were closing that big marketplace. And I was like, okay, I was a little sad, but I was like, okay, now I have more free time. And I was like, maybe now I can start filming myself that I've been wanting to do for a while, but I never had the time. And then the reason why it was because I had the problem finding like dry brushing, you know, I wanted to find out like, or how to layer, and I can't find the video on YouTube, how to layer colors, or you know, there were some things that I was looking for and I couldn't find them. And, or I will find one and I'm like, okay, but there should be more on this topic, more videos on this topic, you know, like, and so I was like, you know what, I'm just going to do it. And then I'm just going to, like, you know, show my way, how I do, how, you know, it, everything I learn through probably my mistakes, like trying and making mistakes and then figuring out from there all techniques that I know now. They all came from a lot of like trying. And I just wanted to share that with the world. I'm like, yeah, I figured this out. Like, look, and that's how I really, and I bought an iPhone, to be quite honest, the biggest reason I bought iPhone 10, and I thought it had an amazing camera. And I was like, let me try it out one video. And I did, and I loved it. And ever since I was, you know, I was addicted. I'm addicted to making videos now.
It comes out, it shows that you have a passion, obviously, for furniture refinishing and to be able to explain the different processes of it, and which is one reason why the finished product is so good. You know, furniture refinishing is very task-oriented with multiple steps when done correctly. What does that process look like when filming it? I mean, are we talking about a lot of labor here?
Oh, boy. Christina, you want to go?
the answer is yes. And I have to put it to Katja for being a good YouTuber and the fact that she has consistently put out a video a week for, I don't know how long, she can comment on that, but she's the one who has pushed me to create more content. And I've seen such a return on that. But to answer your question, you know how labor intensive it is just to paint a piece of furniture. So then when you're painting the piece of furniture, you have to frame your shot. You have to make sure your lighting is good. You have to make sure you're in focus. Katja has a little bit of help in that Carlos does film her the majority of the time. I think I'm doing everything on tripods and with flip screens and stuff like that. So, and then on top of that, once you get done with your whole piece, then you have to edit your video, splice it together. You have to make sure that when you are recording that you're explaining what you're doing, or you have to go back and do a voiceover after that. And then you always have to do an intro and an outro and put some makeup on and make sure you have some good lighting on it too. So it is very labor intensive, but we both do it because we love it. So, yeah, it's work for sure, but sometimes it doesn't feel like work because it's a lot of fun.
Yes, it is.
You know, when I talk to a lot of furniture finishers, they'll say things like, you know, I love to be creative and I love to not have a limit on my creativity. And so sometimes that really, I think, puts a guard up for some refinishers when it comes to doing client work, as opposed to just, you know, creating their own pieces and then selling them outright. So many refinishers are very creative. I mean, most refinishers, furniture refinishers, are very creative. And so they don't want to put limitations on their creativity. And so to be filming different sections of a process, does that limit your creativity? In other words, if you were just creating a piece of furniture in your workshop, nobody was filming you, you didn't have any steps to have to stop and make sure you record, does that ever limit your creativity?
So when I started, I was much more more nervous about it. Like I will start and then the piece, if it wasn't going like perfection, you know, because I was filming it, I will just be like, this is not a video. I'm not going to post this video. This is ugly. This is, you know, this and this. And I made a mistake and I don't want to I don't want to carry on with this piece. I learned that, you know, that's to change that. Actually, if I make a mistake, now I show people, like, actually, I just want to show them that I am, I make mistakes like they do. And my community actually loves that, to see mistakes. And it's 50-50. Now I have to balance everything. I have to listen what my community wants. And then I have to also want to sell those pieces. But then again, I want to be artist and I want to have a freedom to do whatever I want. So I have to balance that out. You know, I have to find a nice balance between all of those things. Sometimes, some days I just go crazy on piece. I'm like, you know, today I'm just going crazy. I'm going to throw everything and gold and rust and this. And you know, every once in a while, but majority of time I really, you know, like have to balance everything between what people wants to see and between me, you know, toning down myself. Sometimes I just want to go too crazy.
I really like what you said, though, because I think that's probably one of the things that makes you guys popular, is that you mentioned that it's okay to show mistakes. It's okay to show the process, because the reality is when you're refinishing a piece of furniture, you may put down one coat of paint and not even like that color, right? So you may have to go back and either do something different. You may have to strip it, or you may just end up putting a different coat on top of that. But I think that process of seeing that and seeing the real process, as opposed to a refined process that's been, you know, edited through video. I mean, I know you have to edit your videos, but I think to be able to see that's encouraging to people. It also helps people to say, you know what, there's room here to make mistakes. There's room here to not be perfect, right? So I think that's a great answer.
Yes, they had this feeling that, you know, we're perfection and we don't make mistakes. And that's, you know, at least for me, that's not true. I do make mistakes. And actually, Carlos is the one who started encouraging me, because now he's the one editing videos. And he started like, you know, we can show them this, like, it's fine. Like, you know, you don't have to be so worried about it. Like, you made mistakes. So what? Big deal. Show them how you're going to fix it.
I know what his motivation is. He doesn't want to edit it out. So he's like, hey, this is perfect. Let's just keep the drama here, right?
You got him figured out.
Well, that works for both of you, right? That's a good deal. You know, yes. Katya, and you both have talked about this. You mentioned the comment, listen to your audience. How do you do that? What is that like on YouTube? I mean, is that through the comments? Is that people reaching out to you so that you're able to sit down and think, you know what, my next video or my, you know, as you're planning your content out in the weeks ahead, you know, it's sort of outlined in this way. How does that unfold?
Go, Christina.
Well, it's funny you should say that because our audience does, you know, we are creative, but our audience does shape a lot of what they want to see. And that is a lot through just personal interaction with every single subscriber and every single person that watches our videos. And Katya, you can tell me how many views you have, but I have close to 7 million views and I have 120,000 subscribers right now.
Wow.
So I spend at least 20 minutes to 30 minutes every day answering comments, answering questions and comments, and just interacting with every single person who's left a comment. And I know that might sound overwhelming to some people, but those people took the time out to watch my video and engaged enough to leave a comment. So I always engage back with every single comment, even the ones that are negative. And we can get into that a little bit later because YouTube can be a scary place for someone who is not has self-confidence and is secure in who they are. But we get, like, I get question after question recently about how do you clean your brushes? And I didn't want to make a video on cleaning my brushes because that seemed pretty boring to me and pretty basic and that information is everywhere. But once I get that question, you know, like 10 times in 2 weeks, mm-hmm. I was like, okay, maybe it's time to make a video. And that is such a small sampling of my audience, but it means so much to people when they actually feel heard. So it's creating that personal relationship with the people who are watching our videos and with our subscribers. There's also a community tab on YouTube that shows up in their feed if they're subscribed to you. So I put little polls on there like, these are the 4 videos I'm working on in the next month. Which one are you guys really excited to see? And so it gets them involved in creating my content and really makes them feel like they're part of a community. It's not just me running this channel. It's us like doing it together.
Well, I've seen that on both of you. And it's amazing. You know, sometimes we look at, you know, a video and we look at the number of subscribers to an account or to a channel, and then we look at, you know, how many people have viewed, but it's a lot of fun to go to scroll down and to see all the different comments. And I'm blown away with both of you. I mean, you guys have a very, very active, engaged community, and that says a lot about what you guys have been able to accomplish. And it says a lot about that people are really drawn to you both. So that's really excellent. Let's talk a little bit about monetization of your content. Because there's a lot of furniture refinishers that, you know, they're hearing you guys, they're inspired by what you guys have to say. They're thinking about maybe starting a YouTube channel. And, you know, as they go through the whole process of should I or should I not do this? And do I have the time, right? You know, they have to be thinking about, is this something that's going to be financially beneficial for me? So if you would, give us just sort of an overview of what does that look like with respect to having a really successful channel, and when does it start becoming a financial success for you?
I just want to say really quick, Christina can go into deeper technical. I just want to say really quick that my suggestion is if you're thinking about doing it or not doing it, just do it and be nervous later. Leave that worrying for later and don't do because of the just because it's a like cool thing to do. Do if you really don't do for the income purposes or to be a cool person to say I have a YouTube channel. If you love a platform, mm-hmm. if you love the platform, YouTube platform, and if you enjoy making videos or you think that you might love go for it and just do it and then worry about it later. That's all I want to say. Christina, you can take over now. Go deep into it.
Well, I think this is a perfect question for right now because just the economy has shifted on a dime and none of us could have seen this coming. So I think when you're building a brand in furniture painting, most of us do this because we love it and we love the creativity, and that's probably never going to change. But you do need to diversify your channels of income if you're making this a business. And so for us, we still paint furniture and we still sell it. Sometimes I take client work and I get money that way. But what we've been able to do with our YouTube channels is monetize our content beyond like selling it on our website or selling an ebook or selling video courses by offering our videos for free on YouTube. Once you get 1,000 subscribers and you have 4,000 hours, I think, of watch time, which sounds crazy, but with 3 billion searches per month on YouTube, it's not that hard, especially if you're niched down into furniture painting. It's really not that hard. I know it sounds overwhelming, but since we've hit those markers, YouTube actually runs videos before they run advertisements before our videos. And they make an income off of that, and then they split that percentage with us. So we get paid for every 1,000 views we get. So I have a video that I made over 2 years ago that is still my biggest money maker. Like, I made that content 2 years ago. I probably spent 10 hours making it, and that video still continues to make me money to this day. So that's why we focus a lot on YouTube, because we've had some success there. And so it's able to get that income, that check from Google every month is awesome. And sometimes I can make a piece of furniture and I don't have to care if I'm going to sell it or not, because I know like I might make money off of that down the road through being monetized on YouTube. But just especially during this time, everybody is home and we've seen our viewership go up a lot. I haven't been able to get furniture here in Tennessee. Really, I've just been doing things around my home. So it's just like an added funnel of income to diversify amongst all these other things, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. You know, you mentioned the ads that appear in your videos. I have a question because I've seen some information. I haven't done a lot of research on this, but, you know, obviously when an ad shows up, it shows up for, I think, what, 4 or 5 seconds, and then you have an opportunity to skip the ad. Does that affect your income if you skip the ad or if you fully watch the ad?
It does. And I don't have like all the specifics for you because that would be for like a more YouTube specialist than I, but I'm pretty sure that we only get credit for the ad if at least 30 seconds of the ad is watched. We don't get full credit unless it's watched for 30 seconds. So I always like, I never skip ads when I'm watching Katja's videos because I want her to get the views. But so yeah, there is a little bit of, there's issues there with skip, and some of them are non-skippable. It's just, but that's all up to YouTube and how popular your video is. So you can't really control that.
Okay. Well, you know what? Those ads really aren't that long, and that's good for us all
so
to know.
Skip the ads, guys.
Exactly.
If you like their content, we appreciate you supporting.
Watch
us.
The ad. Watch the ad, please.
Yeah. That's not a big sacrifice to make, is it?
So on top of the ads that we get on YouTube, we also link all the products that we use in that description box. So similar to bloggers, we have affiliate links in our videos and see some income off of that as well.
Gotcha. Well, we just we want to just encourage folks that, you know what, you never know when you watch an ad, you may find a cool product that you didn't know about if you hadn't watched it. Plus, you're helping the YouTube channel. So that's cool to know. Now, you know, I think it's so cool what you guys were talking about earlier, because you said, you know, a video that you produced a year or two ago or 3 years ago is still paying dividends today. And man, that's so exciting because that just continues to grow your channel, doesn't it?
It does. I still get a lot of subscribers off of that video. And this, I want to say to encourage people who are thinking, should I start this? Can I do this? I recorded that video on a handy cam with the external mic. I didn't have a lav mic on. I didn't do any sound editing, and everything was just edited in iMovie. And with the way phones are today, like if you have a pretty recent model of an iPhone and have iMovie on your phone, you could create a video and edit it all on your phone and upload it to YouTube. And if the content is good and if people want to see what you're doing, don't worry so much about the quality of your video and your audio. That stuff will come over time, because I have this video that I look at the quality of it now and I cringe, but people still really enjoy the content. So content is king.
And then there is, I just want to add one thing to that. There, not everybody's comfortable in front of the camera. I was that person that I was not comfortable in front of the camera for a really long time. I feel like just now, like recently, I am now completely comfortable and I can stay there forever. But that didn't, I didn't let that stop me. And I know there is so many people who are shy and who don't want to stand and talk in front of the camera. So there is a way you can do, you can see on my old videos, you know, I will just put phone there and I will on tripod and I will just like record everything. And then I will type what I want. I will explain through the words what I was doing in the video. So there is a way, you know, you don't have to like sit there and talk and, you know, just if you're shy, because I know there is a lot of people who don't feel comfortable being in front of the camera.
Wow, that's such a, you know, that's such an interesting thing that you brought that up, because that was actually going to be my next question. because there, and that, because, you know, if you think about YouTube, I mean, immediately, you know, obviously it's video, right? And you're either showing something or you're speaking to the camera, and you've got a lot of people who are going to say that. They're going to say, you know what? I'm just not comfortable in front of the camera.
Yes. Yeah, I wasn't comfortable. My biggest problem was my accent. You know, my biggest problem was my English, because I didn't feel comfortable with my English. Mm-hmm. And then I just didn't let that stop me. Now I, you know, actually people find it cute. Now actually, you know, I look at the other way and I'm like, no, actually people love my accent because it's different. So, but I didn't, I just don't want anybody to have an excuse. Like, you know, you, there is a way. If you want to do this, there is a way, I promise you. Like,
well, I know that's encouraging to a lot of folks. And, you know, maybe it's one of those things too, where maybe they don't start out necessarily looking into the camera, speaking to the camera. Maybe they're working on their project and they're talking to those that are watching, but they're not necessarily looking at the camera. I would suppose, do you think, guys think that's a good suggestion?
Yep, that's what I did. That's what I did for a year. Like I did that. I will just put a phone on a tripod and I will record everything. I will fast forward and take and see what I did. People loved it. That's how I grew my community. That's how I started.
Well, that's what Christina was talking earlier. Now, were you actually showing yourself on the camera, or was it strictly just like close-ups of you painting?
They can just see my back. They never saw my face for a long time.
Really?
The first time I show my face, that was in September. So at that time, I already had YouTube. I don't know. I grew for a whole year without showing. Like, they will see my side of my face and my hair, but they really, I wasn't like, I never stood in front of the camera, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's not like I was kind of hiding. I was not completely hiding, but kind of, I was like shy. I didn't want to show so much of myself, but I never spoke in the video, never. It was all in the words. And people, and some people tell me now, like, hey, we missed your old videos where you didn't talk, you know? They got used to it. And now they're like, we missed those videos. So, I did that for a long time. Carlos took over when he jumped on the train, when he joined this as a full time. He started recording me. And then one day I was like, you know what? I want to talk. I'm ready. Like, and that's when I did my trailer for my channel, the trailer, the speaking motivational tutorial. And that's when I started speaking. Now, I went from being a shy person to now like having a podcast on my channel. I just like, people cannot shut me up now. I'm like, just talk.
and you got that encouragement from Christina that just pushed you to go further. And I'm sure from a lot of other folks as well.
Yes, absolutely.
What about search engine optimization on YouTube? Now, you guys can tell me if you think this is too complicated to discuss here, but I know some people are thinking about that because there are so many YouTube channels and there's so much content. How complicated is the SEO side of the process?
You know, it's not really that complicated. First of all, I want everybody to know that YouTube is the second largest search engine behind Google. Like, Yahoo is not number two. People search Google first, and then their second search is going to be YouTube. So it's actually a search engine within itself. And like I said earlier, there's 3 billion searches per month, and the popularity of video content is just on the rise. You see, TikTok is really taking off. Instagram stories, have been a really big popular thing for a while. Just video content is really what people are wanting to consume these days. So again, I just like to encourage people to diversify their business and their brand right now if they can. So for SEO of your videos, YouTube is actually making it really easy for newer creators to be discovered, and you can just tag your videos with keywords. We use Chalk Paint a lot. We use Annie Sloan a lot in our videos because she's one of the most searched brands. So you just can research different things that people are looking for, and you just tag that in your video. You make sure it's in your description a couple of times, and you put it in your title as well. And then you really want to have a catchy thumbnail that people are going to want to click on, because YouTube actually, when a new video is up, will push that to the top of the thing because they want to see how many times people are going to click it when it's new. So you will get put up there, like next to mine and Koch's videos, if you put a Chalk Paint video up. And the more people click on it, the more YouTube is going to suggest it. So it just takes a couple of people seeing your video and clicking on it and getting that good click-through rate for a video to possibly go viral and have a video one day that has 2 million views that's making you money while you sleep. It happened for us, so, and we didn't do anything special to really make it happen. So I really think it could happen for anybody. And YouTube is doing a lot of things these days to help newer creators because they want to see the platform continue to grow, and they don't want to just support like the big YouTubers. They're really out there doing things to push new content from new creators, which is a good thing.
Well, a lot of folks are listening, and you guys are giving such great information, but they're probably having this question: what are the basics to get started? Okay, so I'm really interested in this. Like, what, give me some just basic information, like thinking in terms of equipment, and just the process to make it happen.
Well, I think it's as simple as just, if you have an iPhone, a recent iPhone, or if you have a handy cam maybe that's an HD, if you have any type of HD camera, whatever it is, just try to shoot something. You can edit that in iMovie, which is going to be available on your phone, or if you have a Mac product. If you don't, there are other free, type of editing software that you can download from different websites. And just try it out and see if you like it. And it's as easy as creating a channel. All you need is an email address. And then you just upload that first video, and the hardest thing is turning it on to public and then letting it go out into the universe. It's really just that easy. And if you don't want to edit, you could just record yourself painting on one paint of coat, but painting on just like paint and say, "Here's my first coat." I mean, that was what my first video was me. Actually, I'll spill the secret here. The actual first video that I made, I propped an iPad up. I didn't edit it at all, and I talked about what was in my chalk paint kit, and it was probably 12 minutes long, and it's really dark and on an iPad, and I threw it up there, and I still leave it up there just to help me remember where I started. So I think it's that
That's so
easy.
cool.
What about you, Katja?
I did the same. I still have that video there. It's an Intable. It's horrible editing, horrible video, but it's still there just to remind me where I came from. And I did the same. I got the iPhone, and I put, actually, because I had full dining room of furniture to be painted, I put it, I didn't even have a tripod yet. I just put it like hang on something. I don't know how I set it up, and I just painted it, edited in iMovie. And because that's for, again, for free. And then we just put it out there, and it's horrible now, but guess what? That got me some followers, that got me some subscribers, and it doesn't matter if I think it's horrible. That's got me started. So pretty much you need internet connection, a decent phone, and you don't even have to have tripod. You can buy later once you start making some money. If you don't have, it's not the deal breaker. And that's it. And you need a thumbnail, and you can make thumbnail. There is like a lot of good information on YouTube. You can search on YouTube like how to start a YouTube channel. There is like channels who only does that, tell you how to start a channel. And I did that a lot. I did a lot of research, like hours and hours I spend listening and watching those videos. So that's very helpful. And that was it.
Well, so there's really no excuse. I mean, if you have any level of interest in diving into YouTube, creating a channel and doing some videos, I mean, you guys certainly have explained it well. And it's interesting too, because I think so often when we see a lot of the YouTube channels and the different video tutorials that are out there, you know, we typically think we have to have everything has to be high end. You know, we have to have a computer, we have to have a camera, we have to have editing software. And I know that that is something that can come, but I love the fact that you guys are making it achievable for people on the front end just to dive in and see what happens. That's exciting.
Yep, that's the goal. That's like to convince the more people we convince, the better is because it's just like sometimes people need to hear that. It's not that hard. Like you just have to get started, and then later on, as you start making money, you can just invest in programs and in better phone and camera, and everything comes later. But patience, just be consistent, just keep on put, and even don't be discouraged when you get 50 views and you spend 2 hours of your life editing video. And you know what? You put it out there and it's 50 views. But you know what? Next time it's gonna be 500. The next time it's gonna be 5,000. So just be consistent and don't give up.
Yeah, be focused and patient with the process as well. Well, with YouTube, you know, there's a lot of people who are following and viewing on YouTube, all sorts of channels out there. My question is to you with respect to the negative comments, and Christina mentioned this earlier, but how do you handle the negative comments that come in?
That is something that you can't avoid, because there is the people who are just out there and who just like going around YouTube and leaving negative and hurtful comments. When I got first loaded negative comment on Christmas Day, when that day you're supposed to be happy and celebrate life and family, I got a huge loaded comment where that was full of hate on my YouTube channel. It hurt my feelings so much that I was upset for like a couple of days, where Carlos was telling me like, come on, like you're gonna get this and you're gonna have to get used to it. And so I was like getting hurt for a while, and then I was even on one Facebook page, somebody like so many people like trash my work. I went through rough times, even on social media, or even on Facebook, not only YouTube. And then something in me clicked, and I was like, you know what? These people are so miserable. Like, these people are so hurting inside that they want to hurt me back. They don't even know me. And then at that point, I was like, I need to feel sorry for them. I should not be mad at them that they're going around, you know? There is something really, really wrong if you come to a stranger channel and you just trash that person completely for no reason, and you leave a long paragraph like loaded with hate. And that when something clicked in me, and I was like, oh, you know what? Just like feel sorry for them. So now every time I get a negative comment, I'm like, something's wrong with you. Like, why? I'm sorry that you're going through hard times, but don't take it on me. And I have to, delete that comment and most likely block that person. That's the best thing to do, is just to. If a person leave a negative comment really bad and full of or loaded with hate comment, most likely they will come back and they will leave it again and again. So the best thing you can do is just remove that user from your channel. Just block them. They can still see your videos, but they cannot leave you a comment. And just don't engage with them. Do not give them the pleasure. That's what they want. They want to engage with you. They are waiting you to engage with them to answer, and then they keep going and back and forth, and you guys argue, and that's where they're getting pleasure of. Misery love company, and I keep saying that. And that's where you cannot let them bring you down in their misery. You have to stay above that and just feel bad for them. That's my be best advice I can give to anybody. And me and Christina talk about that, and it's the most hurtful is when it comes from in your community. Like all of a sudden, somebody that, been following you, they will, it happens once in a while, it will happen. They will be like, oh, you're changed too much. And then they'll get mad at you. But if they were really like your followers, they will, the one that really, really supports you, they will never turn on you. Like, because we change, that's normal. As we as our YouTube grows, we will change too, you know? We will grow too. We can't stay the same forever. You know, you try to better your channel. So you just have to, like, don't engage with them. That's my best advice.
Do you find that you get a lot more of that out on YouTube than some of the other social media outlets?
Yes, I find, like, on Instagram, I don't even get that. Like, I just don't get anything negative on Instagram. On when my work was shared on a huge Facebook page that has millions of subscribers, that's where I got it. It's called, like, People Are Amazing or something. Like, so nice, such a nice page. And my work was shared there, and they were brutal. They trashed me, like, hundreds of comments, like, they were trashing me all because I painted a piece of furniture, that they were saying that I'm committing a crime and I am ruining God's work because I'm painting furniture. But on YouTube, it's the bigger you get, the more it's gonna come. But again, you can always control that, because Christina and I, we both read our comments, we go through our comments every day. You can immediately delete that negative comment if it's out there.
Well, it's just so important to know that going in, so that, you know, you're prepared for that. And it's one thing to get healthy criticism. It's another thing to get hateful criticism. And to be able to categorize those appropriately is going to be important for the betterment of your brand and your business and moving forward. So that's great advice.
Yes, yes, it is. There is, like you say, good criticism. I always welcome. I leave those comments when somebody, you know, like a healthy criticism. I always leave those comments. I never delete them, you know, because they're coming from a good from a good place. They're not coming there to, like, to hurt me. You know, they're leaving a comment, like, and I read it. I'm like, okay, I have to listen to them. That's my audience. I listen to them, and I leave those comments there. I don't delete them. But that's so completely different than somebody coming and telling you that you're, like, this or this or this, you know, and people can be mean and nasty.
Yeah.
Believe
yeah,
me.
For sure. Now, do either of you offer coaching to folks that would like someone to guide them in the process?
I actually just have jumped into the coaching world. I'm offering memberships through my YouTube channel, and I have 3 different levels that people can support me on. It's very similar to Patreon. And my 3rd level that I'm doing is Brand Builders, and I'm going to be offering a Q&A live stream with those select people every month to talk about how I've built my channel and kind of give them more inside details on the tricks and tips and best practices that I've developed since I've been on YouTube here. And I'm also going to start featuring an artist out of that group on my channel each month, so they can just check that out on my YouTube channel if people want more information about that.
Very good. Why don't you go ahead, Christina, and provide all of your contact information, and then we'll ask the same of Katja.
Yeah, so I'm on Instagram like everybody else. I'm at pretty_distressed. And on YouTube, I am youtube.com Christina Mascari. But also, if you just search Christina Mascari or Pretty Distressed on YouTube, you're going to find my channel.
Katja, you also have a podcast featured on your YouTube channel. Just give us a brief rundown of what that is like.
Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to talk about that, because I started that not long ago. I just got an idea, like, in January, you know, to do that. And I just did it. And it's on YouTube. That's where I connect with my audience the most. That's where I tell them everything I know about YouTube and Instagram and how to run a business and everything, like, I have in my head and I have learned, I share with them. I open up, I talk about even my own personal things, how I started, and you know, some touchy subjects. And that's where I connect with my audience the most. I get, after every podcast, emails and direct messages and Facebook messages, and people just open up to me. And, you know, we connect to some other level. And knowing that I'm helping somebody in this world, it doesn't have to be just United States. It's like, from in this world, it just, like, means the world to me. And that was my kind of goal of my podcast. And that's, you know, that's that's what I wanted to do the podcast, to share everything I know, because you can't share everything with them in one edited video on Friday. It's very limited what you can put in that video. You know, I can't just keep on going and going and going. So I explained them more, like if I did a piece, I explained them what's the reason behind why I use this color and this technique. And then I will read their questions and I will just go into like, you know, it depends what I did that week, but that's pretty much, you know, what I do. And then I had invited some guests and I had Annie Sloan and I, I had some really cool people, you know, the paint company owners. And I don't know, but my favorite part about my podcast is when I just sit and talk to them and I pour my heart out. And I don't know, I feel like we connect to another level.
What is your contact information as well?
So my Instagram is Kacha Furniture and my Facebook page, and also on YouTube, you can find me at Kacha. It's just Kacha. But if you type Kacha Furniture, you will see me, a girl with a brush, corny smile. Like, you will see that's like an old picture of me, like super old picture. And I'm like, I don't even want to change. It's that corny and that old that I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to keep it forever. I don't even care. Like, I'm like much older now and much, and I gained some pounds. So I don't even look the same. But I'm like, it's okay. Just so you won't miss me. I promise you.
that's your logo brand, isn't it?
It kind of it is now. Like, you know, it's so corny. I believe it's such a corny picture. So you will see. Well, your audience will see when they go and if they go and they look.
Just for me and Kacha Lane, I just have really appreciated how above and beyond Zebra goes in supporting the furniture painting community. I think you have brought a lot of people together and you guys just really encourage, you know, the way the painting community already is. I think we are an awesome community that just really encourage each other, but you guys have just really helped build up and do the collaboration with all the contests that you have out there and just really exposing people that don't have that audience, like giving people that shot with the awards and the monthly contests that you do. There's not a lot of companies that get it. So we just really appreciate all the work that you guys are doing and the way that you build up this community.
Yes, absolutely.
So thanks so much for saying that. It is really a lot of fun and it doesn't seem like work. It's fun to promote people. And we all feel that way as the Zebra Crew. So I appreciate you saying that. It's always nice to hear that from folks that are making a difference themselves. So appreciate that.
Yes, you do. And I have to add, I'm painting my living room and the office, and I'm using your brushes. And I was like, I just keep going. I'm like, oh my God, look at these brushes. I don't have to tape. When using Zebra brushes, you don't have to tape anything. You just go. There is a perfectly flat line. And I'm just like telling Carlos, look at this. Look, watch this. Watch this. You know, there is like they're really, really good brushes. I absolutely love your brushes. I tried them. This is my first month that I've been using them. And I absolutely love your brushes. I have to add that.
Well, I appreciate you saying that as well. That is definitely music to our ears, Kacha. Appreciate that.
Oh, yeah, I love them. I will be using them for many more videos to come. But they're really, really high quality. And I had to tell you. I didn't want to go before I tell you that.
Well, thank you so much. Well, this has been a lot of fun. And I have gleaned so much insight. And I know our listeners have as well. We definitely need to have you both back on soon.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you. This was awesome. I'm with my two favorite podcasters right now, so this has made my week.
that's great. We appreciate that for sure. Well, you both take care and stay safe.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks, Lane.
Support for this podcast is made possible by Zebra, makers of the high-end yet affordable line of application-specific paintbrushes. Do you know what makes our brushes so desirable? They feature small diameter filaments that are exclusively designed to pick up and release paint in a controlled flow, leaving your finish as smooth as, well, a baby's bottom. And on top of that, each brush is designed for specific applications in mind. We won't report you, however, if you use a brush designed for one application and another application. That just means you have had so much fun painting you can't stop. Seriously, we do hope you enjoy using Zebra paintbrushes. We have designed them to be an extension of your hand so that every artful stroke of your hand leaves down the exact finish you desire. Enjoyable painting means enjoyable results. If you have a refinishing tip that you would like to share, send me an email at lane@enjoyzebra.com. Make sure you spell zebra with an I. Put refinishing tip in the subject line and describe the tip in the email. Today's refinishing tips come from Cindy of Reinvented Delaware. Cindy and her husband are constantly tackling tough projects that need a lot of repair, and they are known for taking unusual parts of projects to create new ones. Listen in on the tips that they use to navigate through their refinishing endeavors. Today we are featuring the final three of those six tips. We highlighted the first three on last week's episode.
One of the tips that I have is use leftover parts of furniture as lumber for repairs on antique and vintage pieces. This saves money and it makes the distressing the piece easier since you are not dealing with new lumber. The original finishes will mesh better with each other rather than purchasing and using new raw lumber for the repairs. Another tip I have is use the extra legs from tables as legs on wooden toolboxes. This one is one of our biggest sellers. We restore wood toolboxes and add table legs and an apron to them. Our customers love them. Something about the contradiction between fancy Queen Anne legs and a wood toolbox is very appealing. Use twin size flat headboards as large chalkboards. Make a custom mix of milk paint and don't use a sealer, and then you have an instant usable chalkboard.
Thanks, Cindy, for sharing these tips with us. If you'd like to learn more about Cindy and their work, her website is reinventeddelaware.com. Her social media accounts are also under the name Reinvented Delaware. Who doesn't enjoy a great before and after? Well, you'll have the opportunity to submit your before and after refinishing projects and enjoy other submissions as well, because our May contest for the Zebra Review is underway, and this month's theme is before and after, of course. Make sure you tag your before and after projects that were created as of January 2020 and tag them with hashtag the Zebra Review. This probably goes without saying, but make sure you show the before and after images. They can be on one post or slides in a post. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Zebra Blog's Before and After Furniture Refinishing Podcast. Today's episode is also featured on thezebrablog.com along with contact information for today's guest. Your comments and suggestions for future episodes are always welcome, and we encourage you to share those by clicking on the podcast slide in our header at thezebrablog.com. That's zebra with an I, blog.com. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and happy refinishing.